Hello, I'm Scott Cullen, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. You need more hockey news, and Locked On NHL is here to fill the gap. It's our daily podcast on everything happening in the National Hockey League. Subscribe and listen each day for a quick look at the biggest stories and game recaps. Subscribe to Locked On NHL today, wherever you get podcasts. So in today's podcast, we are going to look at expansion plans for Central Division teams, look ahead at Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. But first, Columbus Blue Jackets goaltending prospect Matis Kivlianix died at the age of 24. Reports indicate that there was a fireworks mortar blast that caught him in the chest, a tragic accident. And, you know, obviously our hearts go out to his family and friends and teammates in Columbus. And this is, you know, one of the bizarre accidents and the suddenness that shows you how fragile life can be. You know, from the hopes here, I suppose, from Columbus's perspective, I'm sure they had hoped that Kivlianix was on a path to being an NHL regular for them. He's made, you know, some appearances and not been, you know, grossly out of place. And so I think that there was probably some expectation that if they lost a goaltender or if they had to trade a goaltender, that he was going to get the opportunity to step in as a backup. And that just, you know, obviously that's not the biggest issue when a 24-year-old loses his life. But I think, you know, it is worth noting, since this is the reason that we're aware of Kivlianix, is that, you know, that he's played 8 games in the National Hockey League, and at 24 years old, you for a goaltender, you can think that, you know, there's still a path to him being an NHL regular. And it, now that is not going to happen. And so that's incredibly sad. Hopefully the, you know, his friends and family will be able to come to terms with it. But, you know, as someone who has, you know, some experience with sudden loss, what I will tell you is that you learn that there's a lot of randomness that goes on in life, and it's nothing about fair or anything like that. It's just, it is. And so best wishes to the Blue Jackets and the Kivlianix family in a very difficult time. Other news from today is the Buffalo Sabres have hired Sam Ventura to be their vice president of hockey strategy. And this is a smart move by the Sabres. You know, Ventura had been with the Pittsburgh Penguins for the past 6 years. And I know Sam a little bit. We've attended various hockey analytics conferences and played on a line together at one of the RIT shinny games after one of the conferences. But Sam's a smart guy. And you could very easily see when Pittsburgh was listening to Sam's advice and then when they started signing the likes of Jack Johnson, which was probably not related to Sam's advice. And so with Brian Burke and Ron Hextall taking over in Pittsburgh this season, probably not a great place to be if you're a sharp analytics mind like Sam. So moving to Buffalo could be a good opportunity. For one thing, it's hard to make the team worse, but the Sabres are also looking at a summer of potential blockbuster deals. If you listen to Elliot Friedman, you would be wise to, he's tapped in, the Sabres could be moving Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart, possibly Rasmus Ristolainen. If the Sabres are going to be making those moves, having some sound analytical foundation in the organization makes sense. In any case, it's not like the Sabres will suddenly be good next season just because they've hired Sam Ventura, but I very sincerely expect that they will be making smarter decisions moving forward. And really, that's what they have to start with. You have to start by making smart decisions, and then you can hope that things start to move in the right direction. But tough times here for the Sabres, but you have to give them credit because this is a strong hire for them moving forward. All right, so now we're going to look at the Central Division and teams with their expansion plans moving forward. And so we'll start with the Carolina Hurricanes, who look like they'll protect Sebastian Aho and Jordan Staal and Teuvo Teravainen, Nino Niederreiter, Vincent Trocheck, Andrei Svechnikov, probably Jesper Fast in the last forward spot, maybe Warren Fogle, but I think Fast might have the edge there. And then on defense, Jacob Slavin, Brett Pesce, and then I suppose a toss-up here between Jake Bean and Brady Shea. Given the cost implications, it wouldn't surprise me if Carolina would leave Shea unprotected, because there's not enough difference between them to justify the cost, and maybe that means Carolina will be interested in trading Shea beforehand. Whatever, I mean, there are teams that that Shea would fit into their protected list. In any case, add Alex Nedeljkovic in goal, and Carolina has a pretty solid protected list. Who's going to be left available? Well, either Jesper Foss or Warren Fogle, Steven Lorenz, Morgan Geeky, and then probably Brady Shea or Jake Bean on defense, Jake Gardner. Carolina is going to lose a decent player. And certainly you could see a guy like Fogle, who doesn't necessarily finish but drives play, could be the kind of player who has some appeal to Seattle. And so let's move on to Chicago. The Blackhawks, protected list should include Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Alex DeBrincat, Dylan Strome, then maybe Adam Gaudette, Brandon Hagel, and Henrik Borgstrom, maybe? There's not a great list of forwards once you start digging deep there in Chicago. On defense, well, Duncan Keith, if he doesn't get traded before then. I mean, it's no secret here that the Edmonton Oilers are kind of hot on the path here for Duncan Keith, but appear to be in agreement on his value. But if we look at Duncan Keith, Connor Murphy, and Nikita Zadorov as kind of likely keepers for Chicago, Kevin Lankinen in goal, that means Chicago is looking at exposing Brett Connolly, Ryan Carpenter, David Kampf, Calvin DeHaan on defense. Now, I mean, I suppose they could keep DeHaan instead of Zadorov, but I don't think that's necessarily how they would plan it. Riley Stillman, and then goaltenders Colin Delia, Malcolm Subban. You can hope, I suppose, if you're Chicago, that one of the goaltenders is appealing enough to Seattle that you could not have one of them in the American Hockey League next season. So to Columbus, obviously a team going through a tough time at this exact moment, but. Now, potential protected list of Kim Atkinson, Gustav Nyquist, who missed all of last season, Oliver Bjorkstrand, Max Domi, Jack Roslovic, Boone Jenner, Patrick Laine. So pretty solid list of forwards there. On defense, we've got Seth Jones, Zach Werenski, Vladislav Gavrikov. Now, Jones has also been widely rumored to be on the trade block because he's apparently not interested in signing an extension this summer. So That could alter the Columbus protected list. And then in goal, Jonas Korpisalo protected. And so who would Columbus leave? That would leave them Kevin Stenlund, Eric Robinson, Nathan Gerby, defenseman Dean Kukan and Scott Harrington, and Lucas Carlson. Not huge losses in any way, but you know, Robinson was a pretty solid workmanlike winger for Columbus. Kukan has been a steady enough NHL defenseman that he might have some appeal to Seattle. So then we move on to Dallas, where the Stars have a relatively older protected list. In some cases, because they have no move clauses, and that sort of drives the decision on who's being protected or not. But for Dallas, Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, Joe Pavelski, Alexander Radulov, that's the older contingent. Then we've got Radek Faksa, Rupe Hintz, Denis Gurianov. And so it's a pretty strong list of seven forwards. But as I say, it kind of tilts toward the older side. On defense, Esa Lindell, John Klingberg, Miro Heskinen. That's pretty quality top three there. And then in goal, because he has the no move clause, Ben Bishop, who missed all of last season. But given his track record prior to that, if Bishop is healthy, you have to assume that Dallas is interested in having him back. Now, who's exposed? Well, Blake Como, Tanner Caro, Jason Dickinson, Andre Sekera, Joel Hanley, and goaltender Anton Khudobin. Now, Khudobin might be the popular one to move on, but you could very easily see Dickinson having some appeal. He's played a lot on the fourth line for Dallas, but also has sort of moved around the lineup quite a bit too. And so you could see, some appeal if Seattle thinks Dickinson could handle a bigger role on an expansion team. When we come back, we will finish the Central Division expansion plans and then look ahead to Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and available this week only, from July 6th to 9th, get a new Built Bar flavor. It's Grasshopper Cookie. What does it taste like? This is Built Bar's version of a classic thin mint cookie. All the flavor without the sugar. Built Bar has a bunch of delicious flavors. In addition, they have coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. My favorite of those is a salted caramel. But if you haven't tried those flavors, you can get a mixed box from Built Bar. You get two of each of those nine flavors. Sample them, decide which ones you like. And there's a wide variety there, so there should be something for everyone. And not only do you have those great flavors, they're all covered in 100% chocolate, so they taste like a great snack, and they're good for you. They're high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar, low in carbs. And, you know, for me, I started using them when I was going to an outdoor boot camp. Made that part of the post-workout routine so I can get a little protein boost for my muscles, and I think I've had some success with it. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, so continuing in the Central Division with expansion plans, and we get to the Detroit Red Wings, where they should be protecting Dylan Larkin, Robbie Fabry, Evgeny Nemestikov, Jakub Vrána, probably Michael Rasmussen, Tyler Bertuzzi, Adam Ernie. There's an okay list, I suppose, given the state of the Red Wings. On defense, Troy Stetcher, Filip Ronek, and probably Dennis Cholowski on defense, and goaltender Thomas Greiss. So who's left exposed if that group is protected? Well, Franz Nielsen, which I don't think we're in any danger of losing him. Evgeny Sveshnikov, Richard Ponick, defenseman Danny DeKeyser, Gustav Lindstrom, and Christian Juice. Well, I mean, of that group, Ponick might be appealing to Seattle, or they might take a prospect like Lindstrom, but I don't imagine that DeKeyser, you know, given his price and you know, performance, I suppose, over recent seasons in Detroit, would necessarily be a big draw for Seattle. So you could see a prospect like Sveshnikov or Lindstrom being the more appealing things for Seattle to have in their organization, and see what they can develop out of those guys. For the Florida Panthers, and now the Panthers obviously had a terrific season, and so their protected list is pretty quality. It's Jonathan Huberdeau, and Alexander Barkov, and Patrick Hornqvist, Frank Vetrano, Carter Verhaeghe, Sam Bennett, and Anthony Duclair. Well, there's a lot of talent there up front. Now, defense is where we get to an interesting case. Well, we've got Aaron Ekblad and Mackenzie Weegar automatic. And then Keith Yandle has a no-move clause. And, you know, as long as Yandle, you know, holds that no-move clause, you are forced to protect him. And you know, maybe Yandle doesn't want to go to Seattle, or, you know, maybe Yandle doesn't want to get selected by Seattle and then pawned off somewhere else. And so, I guess we would have to see what the... you know, whether there's some incentive for Yandle to waive that no-move clause. I mean, the fact that he started to get scratched in the playoffs might have been, you know, an indication that his future is not rosy and bright in Florida. But as it stands right now, Florida would have to protect him. Same goes for Sergei Bobrovsky. You know, as much as Florida might like to get out from under that massive contract, Bobrovsky also has a no-move clause, and so he has to be protected. And this means that there's quite a long list here of viable candidates for Florida that are exposed, and that's Noel Acciari, Mason Marchment, Ryan Lomberg, Alexi Sorella, Lucas Walmark, Anton Strahlman, Marcus Nudivara, Radko Gudas, Gustav Forsling. And really, of that whole list, Gustav Forsling is probably the most appealing. He had a pretty nice season for Florida. And if he's out there and available, you can expect that Seattle would be interested. And so this naturally brings up the challenge here for Florida, is whether they can get Yandle to waive his no move so that they could then protect Forsling, or... You know, being that Florida's track record with expansion is that you offer up another player, so that the team does not the expansion team does not take a certain player, and it, you know, given Florida's history, who knows what kind of quality player they might offer up to Seattle. Like, I don't imagine they would offer up Carter Verhaeghe, but it's hardly inconsistent with the team that gave up Riley Smith so that Vegas would take Jonathan Marchessault. So In any case, I think the real drama for Florida is obviously tied to Yandel and Forsling, in terms of how that works for protected purposes. To Nashville, and we talked about this on when I recapped the Victor Arvidsson trade, but they have a more interesting angle to this because, I mean, and most obviously, I suppose, because their two highest paid forwards are players that they'd be willing to expose. You know, Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene are both sitting on $8 million cap hits. And I think Nashville wouldn't feel compelled to protect them. And if that's the case, you know, then you're starting to run out of forwards that make sense to protect. And in Nashville's case, they do have a more solid group on defense. So maybe they protect Philip Forsberg and Luke Kunin and Kalle Järnkrok up front. And on defense, Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis and Matthias Ekholm and Dante Fabro and Alexandre Carrier. And I mean, look, Nashville's built around their defense for, you know, basically forever. And Justi Saros in net. And so maybe they do run an eight skater protected list that includes five defensemen. Now, you're doing that with the expectation that Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene are probably not getting selected because they have lots of term left on their deals at $8 million a season, and their production hasn't been very good. So you can say they get to keep them or they have to keep them, but that there are still lots of relatively inexpensive options that might be more appealing to Seattle. And now Colton Sissons is signed for a long, long time, but he's out there. Rocco Grimaldi, Nick Cousins, Yakov Trenin, Rem Pitlick, Tanner Janot, prospect who showed some flashes late in the season. If you're Seattle and kind of willing to roll the dice, maybe a prospect like Pitlick or Janot is worth considering. On defense, they got Mark Borowiecki, Matt Benning, Ben Harper. I don't think those guys would be big draws for Seattle, but given the likelihood here of Nashville, it just wouldn't make sense for Nashville to protect seven forwards and three defense, and then you run the risk of like Fabro or Carrier going away for nothing. It does seem to make sense, strangely enough, that Nashville could protect three forwards and five D. To Tampa Bay, the Lightning, believe it or not, have a really great protective list. Nikita Kucherov, Steven Stamkos, Braden Point, Andre Palat, Yanni Gourde, Anthony Cirelli, Alex Killorn. Just, wow, that's ridiculous. On defense, Victor Hedman, Mikhail Sergachev, and Eric Chernak, with Andrei Vasilevsky in goal. Well, that naturally means that there are some pretty significant players left exposed, such as the fate of being a two-time, well, potentially two-time Stanley Cup champion, is that Tyler Johnson and Pat Maroon, Matthew Joseph, Ryan McDonough, Jan Ruda, and Cal Foot are among the guys who will be available. And McDonough, given his significant role with the Lightning, now he's got a long-term deal and makes quite a bit of money, but you could very easily see Seattle taking McDonough and then flipping him to another team as part of the expansion deal, that they would get some pretty quality assets, most likely for moving Ryan McDonough. And so Tampa Bay, I think, for years seeing this coming, Tyler Johnson might have been the expected player to go, having played in the Western Hockey League up in the Pacific Northwest, and that might be a natural fit. But if McDonough's sitting out there and available, I'm not sure that's an easy choice for Seattle to make. But Tampa Bay still has other things on their plate. And when we come back, we will talk about Game 4 between Tampa Bay and Montreal. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs. That includes Major League Baseball, but also the NBA and the NHL, which are both deep into their playoffs, and UFC MMA action. Before the next puck drop, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams make their runs into the playoffs. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device. Sign up today to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So the Montreal Canadiens will try and stave off elimination in Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final on Monday night. According to betonline.ag, Tampa Bay Lightning are favored, minus 157 at Montreal. Now, it's more than my model has Tampa Bay favored by. I have Tampa Bay minus 125. But this is also a case of there may be some defeatist attitudes that creep in when you're down 3-0. You start to fall behind, and suddenly the effort to come back starts to wane. And it does look like the end is near for Montreal. And coming into Game 4, they're going to be scratching Jesperi Kotkaniemi to insert Jake Evans into the lineup. Thomas Tatar's absence from the team, particularly a team that can't generate any offense in this series, is a strange approach. In some ways, it looks like Montreal has got a lineup that they're hoping not to lose, but they're not really playing to win. And that's, you can try and win 0 to -1, but I don't think that that's the best way to go about it either. And so if you look at the series overall, now we're talking just 3 games, but Montreal is getting 51.6% of the score adjusted shot attempts, Tampa Bay at 48.4%. However, when it comes to score adjusted expected goals for, Montreal is at 46.5%, Tampa Bay at 53.5%. And, you know, this is obviously the quality of chances that that Tampa Bay is getting is making a difference for them. But you also have to consider, from Montreal's perspective, if you can control the shot differentials, that gives you a fighting chance in the series. Like, it'd be one thing to be losing here 3-0 and also getting blown out in terms of shot counts, but they're not. The issue for Montreal is that, yes, they're giving up some higher quality chances to Tampa Bay, but also is that Carey Price has struggled. And whether those chances are higher quality or not, Carey Price is sitting on an .835 save percentage through 3 games, and you know that's never going to be good enough. And it doesn't matter if every shot he faces is a breakaway. Your team can't win with your goalie posting an .835 save percentage. Now, admittedly, if they're all breakaways, .835 would be pretty great. But and this stands in contrast, right, to Andrei Vasilevsky, who, you know, has been, you know, one of the elite goaltenders in the league in recent seasons, and has lived up to it in this series as well. You know, the first game of the series didn't require a whole lot from Vasilevsky. He had 18 saves on 19 shots, but past 2 games, he's stopped 74 of 78 shots. And, you know, Montreal, you know, a team that can't generate offense, at least in terms of goals, they are getting some shots. But, you know, Vasilevsky sitting here with a .948 save percentage against Carey Price with an .835 save percentage, it's really tough to overcome that difference for any team, let alone a Montreal team that isn't necessarily blessed with a bunch of natural goal scorers. And the one kind of positive here for Montreal is that in the series, Tampa Bay's outscored Montreal during 5-on-4, two goals to one. Given that Tampa Bay's power play was just, you know, running roughshod through the first 3 rounds of the playoffs, you don't have to feel too badly about how Montreal has performed in that case. And now, I guess at the same time, Montreal's penalty killing was running roughshod through the first 3 rounds of the playoffs. But the fact that they're not just getting destroyed by Tampa Bay's power play should be, you know, a slightly encouraging sign for a team that's down 3-0. Now, through 3 games, Montreal's best play drivers have been their fourth liners. Eric Staal, 69.8%. Corsi, Corey Perry, 68.3%. Joel Armia, 67.4%. And then defenseman, sheltered defenseman, Erik Gustafsson, 68.5%. Now, as much as the puck moving in the right direction with those guys on the ice, Staal has also been on the ice for no goals for and 4 goals against in 3 games. And so that's tough. And then Jeff Petry, the puck's moving the right way with him on the ice, 64.7% Corsi. He's been on for 1 goal for and 6 against during 5-on-5 play. Now, flip that over to the Lightning, where Ryan McDonagh has a 39.4% Corsi in the series. He has been on the ice for 7 goals for, 1 goal against. And then, you know, consider this when you hear the ravings of how great Tampa Bay's depth forwards have been in the series. Patrick Maroon is a 35.9% Corsi. Blake Coleman has a 36.6% Corsi. Yanni Gourde has 37.2% Corsi. But, you know, they're not getting scored on because they have a goaltender who stopped almost 95% of the shots. So, that changes the calculation a little bit. Paul Byron has a 36.9% Corsi for Montreal. Now, the scoring in the series. Nikita Kucherov leads the way, 3 goals, 2 assists. Andre Palat, 1 goal, 3 assists. Tyler Johnson, 2 goals, 1 assist, playing a bigger role with Alex Killorn injured. Blake Coleman, 2 goals and 1 assist. Barclay Goodrow, 3 assists. And Braden Point, 3 assists. Now, for Montreal, their leading scorers are Nick Suzuki, Ben Chiarot, and Shea Weber. All have 2 points in the series. Suzuki, 2 goals. Chiarot, 1 and 1. And Weber, 2 assists. The most notables held off the score sheet in the final. Josh Anderson, no points. Tyler Toffoli, no points. And really, Montreal has leaned so heavily on Tyler Toffoli this year. He was the leading scorer during the regular season. Was their, they're probably their best player through the first 3 rounds of the playoffs. That when he gets shut down in the final, that this is a hill that Montreal probably can't climb. Now, if things change and Toffoli and Anderson can contribute and Carey Price, plays at an amazingly high level, then, maybe Montreal can extend the series and see what kind of challenge they can put here on the Lightning. But right now, it does look like Tampa Bay is kind of on their way to finishing this series off. And I suppose that will do it for today. We'll see whether or not we have any more Stanley Cup final games to talk about. Enjoy the game. You can check out my work at The Athletic and McKean's Hockey, as well as scottcullenhockey.substack.com. Also, check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball and find these podcasts. Subscribe on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis.